Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live, where sarcasm goes to the movies and snark watches TV, with your hosts, the Horror Fatale and the Diva Mummy.
Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live. I'm your host, the Horror Fatale, bringing you this week's horror news, reviews, recaps, and information. Ask you to do me a favor and like and subscribe and give us a rating at iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, or whatever platform you might be listening to the cast on. That was the opening credits for season 9 of American Horror Story. And this is probably the last time we'll probably play that awesome theme music on a cast. At least for a while, because there's no reason to. Because, as you know, we have come to an end. We had the season finale last week. And I didn't talk about it as much because, again, we were having a wonderful interview with Sydney Fleischman from Room 104, the executive producer of that show. So I wanted to devote as much time to her as we could. And again, I thank her for that interview. We're not actually going to talk about AHS 1984 as much as a few bombshells that the show creator Ryan Murphy dropped in an interview that he gave with Dateline immediately afterwards. And we found out some really cool things. He sat down with Robert Trachtenberg at Deadline, and revealed a few things about the, you know, whole future of the series, which will be season 10 next year. And it's going to be probably the final season because he revealed that they only had a 10-season contract. However, the thing about it is that it's booming over at Netflix, which is where I think he now has a production deal. So that opens up a whole nother can of worms. As you guys know, Netflix is like Hulu and Prime and Shudder and now Apple TV. Everybody has their own original programming, and this might be a way to continue the series. Murphy kind of teases at that a little bit. He said that he'd had conversations with Brad Falchuk about season 20. That's crazy. Personally, I don't want it to go that long. I actually kind of think 10 is probably good enough. Huge fan of the show. I've enjoyed some seasons more than others. I'm sure all of us are like that. I think at first when I heard of them doing Slasher, like everybody else, I was a little skeptical. But I think it was pretty well done. They had some slow episodes in there. And he also talks about that. That ending, you remember we talked about that ending was so... It's a bit different from anything that's, you know, true 80s horror. I've never seen it end with a nice bow on it, which is what they did. It was a very happy ending, which was different. And, you know, they wanted to do that, he's saying. That was, their ode to how to do it and bring it into like a modern fashion. And so Murphy is saying that because it really ended in the now, that they thought it was better to rewrite it, where it wasn't as gory, because there won't be a sequel to it. So they thought it was a good idea to just kind of tie it up and end it the way that they did. He also discussed Scream Queens, and I don't know if how many of you guys listening actually watched that series. I did. It was also kind of hit or miss. Some episodes were really good, some were not. It was goofy and silly and campy and cheesy and corny and fun. And it was kind of just what you needed. Sometimes I think people forget that we take our beloved genre so seriously. Sometimes we need a little cheese. And that show hit that spot. So he's saying that, again, because he does has this production deal over at Netflix, that it's a possibility that they could bring it back at some point. Emma Roberts said she would definitely do it. Lea Michele said she would definitely do it. Jamie Lee Curtis, Abigail Breslin, and Billie Lord said they were all in. So just kind of depends on Fox, and what they want to do. So let's cross our fingers, because I would like a season three to see what they could do with it. It's last it ended with what, Kirstie Alley and Stamos joined that cast. He also, excuse me, cleared up about American Horror Story in Space. I had not heard that, and I'm kind of glad I didn't. That's kind of dumb. Jesus, I apologize. He said no, so that's the end of that. Let's let that go, 'cause I think the only time I've ever seen a horror movie that was good in space is the Jason X, which is my favorite Friday the 13th. He also goes ahead and discusses the fact that Billy Idol was all over the season, and they mentioned him like 130,000 times, because remember Richard Ramirez was supposedly just a huge fan. I don't see that, but in real life, I mean. But he said it was never an option to really bring Billy Idol on the show, because it was, especially trying to play himself in 1989. And I think Billy Idol probably is like 65, maybe. I don't know. He may be younger than that, but I know he's probably in his 60s, I would think. So they didn't want to do that to him. And but he happily lended his music, as did, I'm not even gonna say it, Kaja Gugu. They also lended their music to Shy, which is the their big hit. But I'm really upset that they never played Never Ending Story, but that's another thing. So that's pretty much it for that interview. It's a really long one if you want to read it in its entirety. It's over at Deadline. I don't know why I keep saying Dateline, but Deadline. This next story is really cute, but also inspirational and makes me feel bad about myself. 11-year-old US star Evan Alex is writing his own horror movie. Yeah, you heard that right. He's 11 years old. BET reports that US star Evan Alex has enlisted the help of Jordan Peele to guide him in his writing of his very own horror. Tweety Adatu of BET.com discussed how the 11-year-old who starred as Peele in Peele's, flick, Us, revealed the thrilling news at the US UCLA Mattel Children's Hospital 20th annual party last Sunday. Alex said, "I'm working on my own project," he told the Hollywood Reporter. "I'm writing a script. I talked to Jordan about it. I talked to him about horror and how I want this to be a little like Game of Thrones. There is no premise for this story right now, At least he hasn't told us what it is. But this idea could prove to be a great experience for little Alex. You know, he played the son of Lupita Nyong'o and Winston Duke's character in Us. He was really good in that little part. So it'll be interesting to see what he comes up with. Very cool. There's a trend now going with the little, well, I shouldn't call them little kids, but younger actors that are producing and writing their films. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but Marseille Martin, who plays one of the daughters on Black-ish, actually did, she became, I think, the youngest producer ever for this movie called Little, which came out earlier this year, that starred Regina Hall and Issa Rae. So the babes are killing it, y'all. I guess we all have to get up and try to do something with our lives. And in nerd news, but also very cool news if you ask me, The Mandalorian is currently airing right now on Disney Plus, and I'm 2 episodes in. Well, they've only released 2 episodes, but 2 episodes in, I'm really into the show. It's really cool. It's really cool. It's done really well. If you're a Star Wars nerd like I am, you will thoroughly enjoy it. My favorite character on the show is Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda is where it is. And I think he's pretty much the breakout character from the series. Everybody's talking about Baby Yoda. All you see is Baby Yoda everywhere on Instagram, everywhere, all the gifts. And so I have some good news, guys. At first there was no merchandise, you know, for the character available, given the Christmas shopping season was rapidly approaching. But to an individual with knowledge of the situation that is about to change, Disney is preparing to release a number of products all tied to the character, who is officially referred to as simply the child. The products will include apparel, accessories, and they'll be available within days, with 2 t-shirts already on sale on Amazon, by the way. And they'll also be in Kohl's, Target, and Macy's. Hot Topic, Box Lunch, and Zazzle will also carry the upcoming merchandise, as well as the Disney stores and the Disney theme parks. So you can expect more products to debut as it goes on. And the shirts are pretty cute, you know, to throw on with a pair of jeans and your Chuck Taylors and go to the grocery store. So they know how to milk us, man. So that's your horror news.
What is your emergency? Hello? 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 Are you there? Is anyone with you?
That was the trailer for the upcoming film Antebellum. Antebellum is the tale of successful author Veronica Heenly, played by Janelle Monáe, finds herself trapped in a horrifying reality and must uncover the mind-bending mystery before it's too late. It is billed as a thriller, and it's from the producer of our beloved films Get Out and Us, and it's directed by Gerald Bush and Christopher Bush and Rentz, and they are an exciting new voice in filmmaking, which they are. Annabelle is in theaters April 24th, 2020. It also stars Jenna Malone, is another person that you will recognize, and Gabrielle Sidibe is in it as well. I'm sure when you see the film, you'll recognize some other people, but I don't feel like going through the list of names because I'm lazy right now. But Janelle Monáe, I don't know why I cannot say her name. She is a really good actor. She, you know, came on the scene as a singer, which she's also a really good singer, but she has the acting chops. So this will be interesting. I would invite you to go to horrorfatale.com and check out this trailer if you haven't already. It is beautiful. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Like, the colors are really vivid and everything. And what it does is, it's very interesting, because I can't wait to find out more, because this is technically a teaser, so we didn't get a whole lot, but it is mind-bending because it seems that she's splashing back and forth in the same time. So I don't know whether she's telling a story, being that she's an author, or not, but you see antebellum, you see slavery times, and then you see modern times. And so it's back and forth that way throughout most of the film, it looks like. So I guess it will be in the vein of Get Out and Us. So it'll be interesting to see what is actually going on. I'm intrigued, and I will put more as more information becomes available. And when we get the official long trailer, that will also be a discussion probably on the cast. But again, go check it out at horrorfatale.com.
It's the time of the season when love runs high.
Five persons, including actress Sharon Tate, were found dead.
I was like I was caught in something that I had no control over. I had absolutely no say-so as to what was happening there. I was just like a tool in the hands of the devil, is the only way I can put it.
Somebody help me! You're killing all of us.
It's okay, it's just a nightmare. It's over.
Told you before. You've got the wrong house.
Yeah, cool, man.
Who is that?
Pretty girl. Pretty, pretty girl.
Interesting.
This tape?
Cease to tell.
It contains subliminal messages.
Let them be us. Let them know us.
This person, these people, they're a threat to my safety and to the safety of my baby.
The line's dead.
What? I'll face it right now. You're gonna die.
No! Pretty girl. Pretty, pretty girl.
That was the trailer for The Haunting of Sharon Tate, and that will be our movie review today. I meant to do this earlier when I reviewed the book on Charles Manson that came out during the anniversary, which was this year. I think it was 50 years. The 50-year anniversary was this year of the murders of Sharon Tate and the La Bianca, and, you know, just the summer of horror that the Manson family enacted here in Los Angeles. But I didn't get around to it because it was, I had so much on my plate at that time. But, however, I did watch the movie finally. And it's currently playing on Amazon Prime, by the way. So, as you already know, pregnant with director Roman Polanski's child and awaiting his return from Europe, 26-year-old Hollywood actress Sharon Tate becomes plagued by visions of her imminent death. I have no idea whether any of this actually happened. We will not know. But it was directed by Daniel Ferrans, who also wrote it. It stars Hilary Duff, Jonathan Bennett, Lydia Hearst, and some more people. And it's weird because they have Charles Manson actually credited as himself. And I guess they had to do that for the footage that they actually show in the movie, and also have Sharon Tate credited as well. I really, really kind of wanted to like this movie. The trailer is way better than the movie. Just watch the trailer. I'm not gonna rag on it too hard, but you can skip it. I'll just say that right now. You can skip it and your life will be fine. I guess the problem is, I guess there's so much that we know and so much we don't know. And what he tries to do, and I got to give him credit for trying to do something different. I think this was the summer of trying to do something different, because, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the Brad Pitt, Leo DiCaprio movie, I think they changed the scenario. What is it, Hollywood? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I think they changed the scenario, what actually happens in that film. Haven't seen that yet either. But I will. This tries to tell, you know, this horrible narrative from, you know, Sharon's point of view. And I commend them trying to give her a voice where she kind of, you know, yeah, she does have a premonition, if you will, about her death, and she's playing it out in her head of what she thinks will happen. And again, spoiler alert, they change it up completely to where, you know, they survive. I'll just say that, where she survives, her and, you know, everybody that was slaughtered that night actually survives. But do they? That twist was actually pretty good, but for the most part, the movie is not good. I hate to say it, but I'm not that familiar with Hilary Duff's work. I did not watch Lizzie McGuire. I was a little too old when that show was out. But I thought she was pretty good. She might just not have been up for this film. I gotta watch more tapes of Sharon Tate. I think I saw Valley of the Dolls like one time when I was a kid, and I don't remember, but I don't remember this woman having an accent. And Hilary Duff plays her with some kind of weird accent. And so it's like, oh, she was trying to do an impression. And I get why people do that. But I think in these situations, you just kind of have to look like the person and embody the character the best way you can, and not try to actually mimic them if you're not, you know, just a bomb actress. So that was off-putting. It was a weird accent she was doing. And I get it. I don't know whether these choices were on the page or whether these actors just made these choices. The script seems like it should have been okay. And there's some meat to it a little bit. I just don't think it was well acted. Yeah, I'm not going to go too long or too hard on it, but you can skip it. It's not one that'll be on my recommendation list, but I wanted to do a movie review this week, and I'm trying to knock off all the ones that I should have seen by now, because the end of the year is approaching fast, and I want to do a sufficient see it list. So that was on there to watch. You know, I shouldn't say skip it. You know what? If you have a Prime account already and you have, you know, an hour to kill, and you just want to watch it, and you're a Manson, I hate saying fan when it comes to that dude, but if you're a Manson fan or you know, interested in that, you know, that point in history, watch it just for that. Like I said, I will give the writer kudos, you know, Daniel Farad's kudos for trying to do something different with it, with the story. I just don't think it succeeded, and that's a pity. So I also got the pleasure of going to see Knives Out at an early screening. You guys, it's not a horror, but it's a murder mystery. And I think it's based on, I want to say, an Agatha Christie. I think it is. I could be wrong. But it's definitely in the vein of an Agatha Christie kind of murder mystery. One of those old school things. It's got a little clue to it as well. It's really, really, really good. It's billed as a comedy, a crime, a drama, a mystery, and a thriller. And most importantly, Captain America's in it. I'm sorry, Chris Evans. You will always be Captain America. But Daniel Craig is in it. Chris Evans is in it. I was really impressed with Ana de Armas. I think that's how you pronounce her name. She is a Cuban actress that was in Knock Knock with internet bae Keanu Reeves a couple of years ago. And she has proven she's got some chops. She was really good in this character of Marta. So pay attention to her. Horror legend, Jamie Lee Curtis is also in it, as well as the very impressive, wonderful actor, Michael Shannon. And Don Johnson has dusted off his acting hit lately and has been on a lot of things because he's in The Watchmen on HBO right now as well. And he's a big part of this film. Very interesting espousal of some Trumpisms in there, you'll see. And always impressive, Toni Collette is also in the cast, and little Atlanta actor Lakeith Stanford, he's cute. I mean, seriously, he's attractive. Christopher Plummer came off the bench and is in this as well. Catherine Langlert, I'm not familiar with her, but I know she's in 13 Ways to Commit Suicide, I think this is the name of the show that's on Netflix. Yes, I've never seen it, sorry, but she's in it. And Jaden Martell, who is one of the new It kids, is in it. And I'm trying to see, is there anybody else around at the cast? Oh, Frank Oz, who I haven't seen on camera lately, but he actually appears in this. He's usually, you know, as we know, behind the camera directing, but he's actually in this as well. So, oh, and M. Emmett Walsh. I really need to look up how old M. Emmett Walsh is. He is still kicking. He's still around, and he's in this movie. Every time I see him, I'm, like, really excited that he's still acting. So, he has a small appearance, but he's in the movie nonetheless. It doesn't officially come out until November 27th, the day before Thanksgiving. And I would say go see it if you have the time or inclination or looking for something to do Thanksgiving Day. This is one. Go check it out. I could not recommend it more. I don't know if I'll do a formal review because technically it's not a horror. We'll see. Watch this space.
Do you know who you welcomed into your home?
Leanne Grayson?
Hello, Mrs. Turner.
Hi, I'm Sean.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Turner. You have a beautiful home.
She is a godsend.
I was expecting someone older, less weird.
We hope you'll treat our house as your home. I'm sure you and Jericho will form an instant bond.
She's cool with everything?
She knows the situation. guess we should talk about this. She's gone. You can put the doll down now.
I'm fine as I am, Mr. Turner.
We lost Jericho when he was 13 weeks. Dorothy took it hard. This is the only thing that brought her back.
I should take Jericho for his walk now.
You hired a nanny for a doll?
Where did you find her?
She is wonderful with Jericho. And if my baby trusts her, so do I.
How much did those boys tell you about what happened?
What if she wakes up? What if she remembers?
The trailer for the upcoming show Servants. It will be airing on Apple TV, and it's from M. Night Shyamalan and Leslie Brulman. It is the tale of a young and troubled couple who replace their newborn baby with a lifelike doll after their child dies from health complication. And the series will premiere on Apple TV Thursday, November 28th. It stars 6 Feet Under's Lauren Ambrose, Neil Tiger Free, Rupert Grint from Harry Potter, Toby Kubel, Philip James, and et cetera, et cetera. It's going to have a 10-episode run. And I think if you already have Apple TV, you can see the first 3 episodes already. You can preview them. The trailer, you guys. The trailers that they released for this has been really haunting, beautiful, haunting, and creepy. They actually show the making of this Jericho doll, and it's creepy as shit. I don't know why this would be good for her to have a life, this doll that they are essentially have replaced their dead child with. I don't know what kind of therapy would recommend that be a thing. And the fact that they, to quote the lady in the trailer, they actually hired a nanny for a damn doll. that's taking it a little too far. I would suggest that money that they, put her in therapy or, visit, Promises out here. I think they're in New York, so whatever the equivalent to Promises is out there. It looks really fascinating because if you think about the boy movie that came out a couple of years ago, that had potential to be really good. It wasn't, but it had potential. This has potential. And being that it's M. Night Shyamalan, I'm sure there's a twist in there that'll be something about this doll. And I think it's not even, the doll's creepy as hell, don't get me wrong. But the girl, Tiger Free, who's Leanne Grayson, who's playing the nanny, she's even creepier than the fucking doll. I'm like the husband, she's creepy. So, she's really going along with it. And I guess you would do that if you're thinking that, this mom is mentally ill and you're trying to placate her. But at the same time, I think she's taking it a little far. So I'm fascinated to find out what her deal is. M. Night Shyamalan is hit or miss. He's had some knock 'em out of the parks, and then he's had some ones where it's like, huh? he at first had done really well with what was the show? I can't think of it. I shouldn't have even brought it up because I can't even remember. It was a show that was airing. We did several podcasts about it because we were really watching it intently and pulling for him. Like, because he'll have like Signs, and then you know, he'll have, you know, The Visit, which was really good. Wayward Pines, that's the show. Wayward Pines, the first season was really good, and that second season was stupid as hell. And it was like, oh, you could have kept that. So I worry about his patchy record. Split was really good, but then Glass was not. So it's just like, maybe this will be one of the ones that's really good and not. But it's going to be out again on November 28th. We've run way too long, and I had plans to do a check-in with Nancy Drew, but I'm not going to now. Because I don't ever want to run over the time unless I have a good reason to. I would invite you to check out the next episode of Room 104. I cannot stress that enough. It's called Crossroads, and I think you will really enjoy the nice twist that happens with it. And it'll be airing tomorrow on HBO or HBO Go or however you get your HBO. So I want to say, follow me on Twitter at Horror Fatale. I'm going to try not to swear at Trump too much. I make no promises. Or catch us on Instagram at The Horror Fatale. Cheers, y'all, and sweet nightmares until next week.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands
to take you in this time.